You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a bonus Farsighted Network podcast. This is Justin, a.k.a. The Painted Man, a.k.a. one half of Grindhouse Messiah's co-host duo. And I was lucky enough to speak to Jeffrey Combs a few weeks ago about his performance at the upcoming Sleepy Hollow Festival. So I hope you're enjoying this month's spooky coverage. I hope if you're from the New York area, you can get out to this awesome festival. And without further ado, here's just Jeff and I BSing while driving home.
Time to chat a few minutes. I appreciate it.
That's all right. That's all right. My pleasure, so, Justin. Listen, I'm driving because I had to run an errand. So, don't worry.
Hey, that's understandable. I have to do a lot of things while driving as well. I understand.
Okay.
I'm in a car myself. I'm not driving, thankfully. But I'm in a
Okay, but where are you?
I'm in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, nice. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So, well, no need for an introduction for you, obviously. I think everybody listening to my podcast or reading this knows who Jeffrey Combs is. But why don't we jump right into your current project that you're involved with right now to start us off. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You're talking about Nevermore, right?
Yeah, Nevermore.
So I have done this show for about 10 years now. Had a long run here in L.A. That lasted a couple of years or more. And then I started being asked to bring it to other places. Baltimore, you name it, New York, Boston,
cool.
Nashville, San Diego, Las Vegas, Montreal, and unfortunately not Philadelphia, which was a place that Poe lived and wrote for many years. So that's next on my wish list. Okay.
Well, I'll call some people I know. that do projects around here. Maybe we can get you into town because there's definitely some folks who I think would be interested in projects like yours. That's definitely pretty cool.
Okay. And now Sleepy Hollow, which is a beautiful theater, and I can't wait to perform it there because the venue is so much in keeping with the period and all things Poe, so I'm really excited about that.
Very cool. So what exactly should folks who would check out the play expect? What exactly is it?
Well, it is an imaginary recital. In Poe's day, authors would do that because they didn't really make much money on royalties at all, like today. So personal appearances was a way to actually make a little money on their writing. And
right.
So what can you expect? It's a bit of a imagined, you know, of course it didn't really happen this way, but it's a structure in order to sort of show all the different colors of Poe,
right,
from his humor to his to his pathos. I read one of his stories, I recite some of his poems, I talk about his life and his ups and his downs, and mostly downs in his life. You know, he had a challenging road. That's all I can say.
Right. And I mean, You clearly had a long interest in the works of Poe. What attracted you to his work and projects based on his work, and you know, to get so interested in him?
Well, his writing stands head and shoulders above the vast majority of writers. He's a titan, but I was more drawn to him as an actor by him and his contradictions and his gifts. He's sort of hard to grab and articulate. He doesn't fit into easy categories. You know, a lot of people think of him as a macabre writer, but really his dark short stories were not that many.
Right.
It's just they were so incredibly vivid and powerful that they made a very, very strong impression.
We got EAP in the house tonight.
Edgar Allan Poe.
America's most romantic love poet.
Taking us back, way back.
1849 style.
Hip-hop?
Nah, this is lit-hop.
It was many and many a year ago, when a kingdom by the sea,
it's true,
that a maiden there lived, whom you may know, by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. But the angels got jealous, they took my queen, now she's gone and I can barely sleep. But her mortality makes her hot, all up in the malt shop, her favorite spot. I got so lost in her bright green eyes, so tell me why the love of my life had to die. So who's that?
Who's that?
Rapping at my door, Annabel Lee, R.I.P. like the Nor, nevermore should have known that death would take her out. Red lipstick kiss and I'm lonely now. Tuberculosis, necrosis, I can't focus, and I hope this pain goes away, cause all I see is her photo on the wall, smell the perfume on the sheets. We were so in love, even when she's gone. I'll be up in the graveyard singing her songs, like cemetery woman, my cemetery girl, cemetery lady, I want you in my world. A child in this kingdom by the sea, but we loved with a love that was more than love. See, I am my Annabel Lee, with a love with the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me. She was gone by dawn, should have known all along that we were never meant to be. Sadly, I gave her my heart, she gave me her flower, like Romeo and Juliet humping in the tower. Every single day, every single hour, rumpy in the bedroom, pumpy in the shower. So now I pack a shovel and I dig real deep. Take a crescent wrench, rip out all her teeth, put them in a box so she'll always be here with me. Let's see, probably need some therapy. The highborn kinsman stole her from me, chilling and killing my Annabel Lee. That's death, I guess, there's nothing I can do. Like Ronnie and Sammy, our relationship is through. Now every single night, I lie down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride, my wife and my bride. Now all I have left is poetry, memory, sorrow, and stress.
Bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee. The stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And neither the angels in heaven above nor the demons down under the sea can never dissever my soul from the soul of the beautiful Annabel Lee. But our love, it was stronger by far than the love of those who were older than we. They said we were kids, but I know what love is. We were happy and young and so free. And so every night I lie down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride. That's where she will always be, in her tomb. By the sounding sea.
So, I was just saying that. So, my podcast and my website are rooted in a kind of exploration of faith and its intersections with art in a lot of ways. I'm a pastor's kid myself, so I kind of grew up in the church, and I'm kind of an outsider insider when it comes to my relationship with the church these days. But I bring that up just to say I've always found Poe's work to be very interesting in that regard. I always thought he had a lot of spiritual themes. Is that something you've noticed at all in your dealings with Poe?
Yes, spiritual, but I wouldn't say particularly religious. In fact, one of the more startling quotes that I say in my show from Poe is this: my whole nature utterly revolts at the idea that there is anything in the universe superior to myself.
Hmm.
What a powerful sort of, I'm good with who I am and my knowledge, right? I don't need to believe that there's some fatherly figure somewhere out in the cosmos that's directing everything. Not so sure about that, right?
Right.
And yet at the same time, Poe's last words before he died were, "God help my poor soul."
What? That's an interesting contradiction, huh?
But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we say it all the time, going, "Oh God, help! Come on, God, help me on this one, man."
Right? Yeah. It's just that what it actually means, you don't know necessarily. Yeah.
It's not necessarily a literal thing. It's more like somebody, hey, something. So, also, he was quite delirious at that point. So, but,
sure.
He was basically a non. He doesn't write very much about religion. He was fascinated in the later years of his life with metaphysics. He wrote a book called Eureka, and he thought it was going to be his greatest work, and it's incomprehensible. But he does sort of, it's like, are you on acid here? But he does sort of explore the notions of like a black hole long before anybody else would even have conceived of such a thing.
Hmm.
So he was just a genius exploring life and the meaning of it. But he did not rely on religion. And in fact, I kind of rail against people who didn't like his short stories because they didn't have any morals to them. like you're not teaching people how to be better people with your stories. And he's like, that's not my job, okay? My job is to tell a story that makes you think, but I'm not going to preach to you, okay? That destroys the story, right?
Yeah, and that's interesting because a lot of Gothic writers and people of that time in that kind of early horror or Gothic kind of writing that I think he gets lumped into are telling morality stories a lot of times. And you're right, he's not.
Right, or they're warnings. Look at Frankenstein. Oh, you better not mess around with nature. If you do, bad things happen. You know, and Poe is like, let's just describe the bad things and you be the judge of it. I'm not going to insert my own morality into how you react to this or use this opportunity to make you feel a certain way or behave in a certain way or not the way I roll. Okay. So.
Yeah, interesting. And now in your career, there have been some movies and projects that I've very much been intrigued in, kind of like I said, the spiritual implications. I tend to look at things more of a faith and spirituality than a religion per se, but for instance, obviously, you were in a Faust project, and obviously that's a very deeply spiritual based thing, or the Reanimator films, much in that Frankenstein vein, to a large extent. You know, is there something that drew you to those kind of projects? Are you personally someone who grew up in a faith background or have any kind of personal worldview that kind of, you know, you brought to those roles?
Well, that's a couple of things. First of all, last question first. My upbringing was not particularly religious, but maybe with a whitewash of religion and the kind of social aspects of it. I was never forced to go to church. I was never made to feel guilty because I didn't. But I would say both of my parents grew up in sort of a Southern Methodist kind of everybody goes to church, that kind of thing, but by the time they were raising kids, I remember going to church every once in a while with them, but it was not a strict kind of we're doing it every Sunday thing at all. And so I was kind of left to kind of assess things on my own, as opposed to being, have it rammed into me and inculcated into it at all. So I appreciated that about my family. As far as being drawn to Faust and being drawn to Reanimator, quite honestly, dude, they were jobs.
Yeah.
An actor auditions for a lot of things, and you get jobs, and whether or not I would do those things, I think the spirituality of the projects was maybe down the list quite a ways.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Yeah, I completely get that. And so that said, you know, with Reanimator, just on that topic, that's, I guess, the first time you worked with Stuart Gordon, I'd imagine. And now you are working with, the project, you know, as far as the play, he directs the play, correct?
He directed the initial production of it when we had a run in L.A. He toured with me a little bit for a few of the performances out of town. But for the most part, over the last 7 years or so, it's just kind of me doing it. I follow his lead, and I stage the plays exactly as we worked it together. And so, you know, there's no doubt his fingerprints are all over it. But you know, he
doesn't
kind of have the
one man show of everything these days. It's you, huh?
He doesn't have to go on the road with me and make sure everything is in place and done that well, you know. But he still directed it.
Awesome. And so as we kind of wrap things up, one thing I wanted to bring up, one of my favorite roles of yours, I'm a big, you know, horror comedy kind of guy, and I love The Frighteners, and I particularly love you in The Frighteners. And I was curious, A, you know, what that experience was like, and then also, what are some of your favorite roles that you got to play over the years?
Well, that's one. Frighteners was one of my highlights. I have nothing but just really sweet memories of working with the great Peter Jackson on that. Very collaborative and no ego there. A good idea is a good idea. It doesn't matter where it came from. Very, 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 what's the word I want to, it's very spontaneous. His instincts lead him sometimes. He's very prepared, but if something comes along that he sees on the spot, he goes, yeah, let's do that. That's better.
And that's cool. It doesn't matter who kind of came up with the idea.
Yeah, I know. No, it's a group thing. And so I really appreciate that. Of course, Reanimator, because it kind of got me on the dance floor, and I think it's a kick-ass movie. Other things I've done that people maybe haven't seen is a kind of Tarantino-esque movie called Lovin' a 45 that I did a long time ago. I'm fond of The Black Cat. I like Would You Rather, a movie I did a couple of years ago. And all my Star Trek stuff. Very proud of all of that.
I was going to say, with Star Trek, it was, you know, that's quite a bit of work, so I'm sure that's something you have a lot of memories from.
Yeah, that kept me busy for a long time. That was a sweet deal. I appreciated it. So
how can folks follow the things you're up to? Are you on, you know, social media and stuff? How can they see what's next for you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitify. I'm on Facebook, although Facebook I kind of keep for family and friends, literally. Right. So Twitter, I used to have a website. It's kind of still there, but I've let it. Who has a website anymore, really? I mean, when was the last time you went to somebody's website? I just don't even think about
personal
it.
Websites. Yeah, I don't know that I go to many of those.
So it's there. It's there, but it's dormant because I don't know. So Twitter's the place.
Awesome.
I don't get Instagram. My daughters are all over Instagram, and it's like, but okay, pictures. Okay, never mind.
I love it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore.
The spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again in death around thee.